Good morning, everybody. Let me the May 1st Transportation Committee, Town of Mount Pleasant. It's good to see everybody here today. I want to thank everybody that had a role in the blessing of the fleet yesterday. I know that it was all hands on deck, recreation, public services, police, fire. Who am I leaving out? The communications office. They were there all in the same shirt. Now that is teamwork there. That was awesome. I loved it. But thank you all. It was quite a day. Our hearts go out to the Cobb family with the loss of the boat. And somebody asked, said, well, gosh, did the blessing of the fleet do any good? But when you think of all the other scenarios that could have occurred, I would say there's some things to be thankful for. And we're just going to hope that Captain Cobb is out of the hospital soon. So item number two is approval of minutes from our April 3rd meeting. Do we have a motion, please?
Move for approval, Mr. Chairman.
I have a motion and a second for approval. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All right. The minutes are approved. Item three is public comments. If you have a public comment, please come forward to the lectern, and you'll have 2.5 minutes to speak. We just ask your name and address, please. Hello, stranger.
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
I'm fine.
Good morning, Mayor Haney and members of council. The town recently hired a contractor to install a pedestrian path in the lane of traffic on Deer Creek Road. Residents of the Commonwealth Subdivision at our February HOA annual meeting expressed dissatisfaction with this decision and do not understand why our subdivision, have to accept anything less than what's being implemented in other subdivisions. We respectfully request this pedestrian path be removed from the lane of traffic and if warranted be installed in the right-of-way. As it stands today, this is an accident waiting to happen. I contacted town staff concerning where this practice has been done elsewhere in the town and was advised Whipple Road Tennis Complex and Pitt Street. I can only assume the Pitt Street Bridge. We are not comparing apples to apples. Both of the noted areas were in a park or recreation environment with a lower speed limit. The original request came from Dowell Creek Subdivision to install a sidewalk on the right-of-way in the Commonwealth Subdivision and was deemed unfeasible and not cost-effective to pursue. Please understand that the Commonwealth Subdivision HOA did not ask for, suggest, or approve the idea. From emails that I have received, it appears that this was a request from specific individuals who live in Dowell Creek. The town's Facebook page, to include Alta report that the town references to states any candidate street will need a supportive general consensus of the neighborhood, exhibited to a grassroots petition. The Commonwealth resident stated to staff in an email that we were not in favor. I have not seen nor signed a petition. Did Dowell Creek sign a petition? Also, in an email that I have, staff stated that they have had a conversation with a specific individual from Dowell Creek who gave staff the impression that the Commonwealth Board initially approved this improvement. As already stated, the Commonwealth residents are against what has already been implemented. However, we would be in favor for a sidewalk on the right-of-way. What's hard for me to understand is that for many years, senior management tasked the Public Service Department to undertake large and small drainage and sidewalk projects. They had the equipment, the manpower, and the engineering skills to do this very basic project. I am confident they would do an outstanding job, and the cost of the project would be considerably less than contracting it out. I'm probably close to my 2 minutes. I would like the opportunity to be questioned for the other two items on the agenda, if needed. Thank you. Anyone else for public comment? Yes, sir. Please give name and address. 2.5 minutes. Somebody will let you know when time's up if you use it.
My name is Daniel Mullen. My address is 577 Wood Spring Road. I'm a member of the Commonwealth Property Owners Association, the treasurer. And I just want to support Jody's comments from the board that we do not support this walkway. We were not involved in this decision. We were notified 2 weeks prior and uniformly expressed our opposition to it, which we were told the contract's been issued, it's going to happen in 2 weeks. We had a board meeting with all the members, property owners. We 100% support a sidewalk that's constructed not in the right-of-way. We have witnessed many issues. Most people do not want to really walk back to the traffic. That's the main safety issue. So a quarter of the people don't use it because of that issue. We've seen issues with UPS drivers parked in the thing. Now we have a conflict. So just want to convey the board's support for Jody's concerns, our concerns, and we do like the sidewalk, and we should get what other neighborhoods have. Thank you. Thank you. Any questions? I'll be happy to go.
If we do, we'll do them when we get to those agenda items.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Good morning. My name is Bill Harnish. I'm the president of the Darrell Creek HOA. And yes, we did make a request for a sidewalk. That was our preference, to have one installed there. We have the path that connects Carolina Park to our, or to a Commonwealth subdivision. But from the Commonwealth subdivision to the Darrell Creek subdivision, there's no sidewalk. And kids and bicyclists and kids going to school on bicycles and all that use the path, or use that road as well. So we made the request and we were told it wasn't feasible. So they came up with an option to put the bike lane in. So we thought it was worth a try. So just wanted to know, we are in support of it. And I've seen people use it and looked to me like it was pretty successful. And it's common sense. If you're walking with your back to the road and someone's coming here, you turn around and you look, and if it looks like it's a hazard, you step out of the way. So I haven't seen any problem, and I walk there every day. So anyway, I just wanted to let you know, you heard from Darrell Creek that we are in support, but we would prefer a sidewalk as well.
And let me get your name again, please.
Bill Harnish.
Bill.
What's the last name?
Harnish.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else for public comment? All right. We will close that section of our agenda and move on to item number 4, which deals with what we just heard about. Request from Commonwealth Subdivision HOA, discussion of pedestrian path, resurfacing of Darrell Creek Trail, and replacement of street signs.
Yes, Mayor, and thank members you. Of committee, thank you. So you should have received a memo this past week related to the town's micromobility program, and a lot of this will be kind of reiteration of that program here. So we wanted to first start by giving some details on that program. It is something that was developed within probably about the past 12 to 16 months, and in coordination with one of our on-call consultants, the town's developed sort of a process for analyzing and implementing these types of infrastructure projects. It really is one of those things that we've been tasked with, is stretching the dollar, looking at things, ways to uniquely implement infrastructure, most biggest bang for the buck. So what that program really outlines, as far as potential sites, are really residential roadways, lower speed, lower volume. There are thresholds within that program, and it really moves to help accommodate these more vulnerable users in areas where it is not very cost efficient or feasible to install the more traditional sidewalks. And it really does, you know, upon observations of many of these areas, operate in this form or fashion regardless of the striping. Folks do utilize the roadway. Vehicles that are driving on these roadways tend to stay in the center lane until an obstacle opposes them. These are more narrow roadways. And then we've got a number of different projects, as was previously mentioned, that have been implemented, that are in design, and that are coming to construction soon. One existing is Whipple Tennis Facility, mentioned of the Penn Street Bridge Park area. This was actually is in place now, even before this micromobility program was developed. Ben Marino Way, over going out from Faison Road to the Carolina Park Recreation, is under design now. Hale Road, another one over by Whitesides Elementary, that's under consideration and design. Rose Lane, Deer Creek Road, and then all this kind of really does tie into the Quiet Streets theme of the Mount Pleasant Way program, which was adopted in 2019. And then we've recently worked and pushed out a sort of a how-to video for both pedestrian bikes and vehicles on how to utilize that, and that's on our website. talking specifically about the Deer Creek Road segment. So to provide context, in I believe 2018-19, a multi-use path was installed along Darrell Creek Trail that connects Park Avenue Boulevard, which has that those same facilities, multi-use path, and terminated up at the intersection of Darrell Creek and Deer Creek Road. So there's about a 1,000-foot section of roadway that connects internal to the neighborhood between existing sidewalk and that existing multi-use path facility. As was mentioned, there's been numerous requests over the years for improvements to these pedestrian facilities. The roadway is an open section roadway. There's no curb and gutter and some pretty large swales on either side. It has a lower speed, a lower volume, so it really did, when looking at this roadway for the potential of a micro-mobility advisory shoulder bike lane, really did check those boxes and service that need, again, for that critical gap of 1,000 feet. Staff did investigate the potential for the more traditional sidewalks, and you'll see here our estimate was, you know, around the $400,000 mark. That's because we now segue from a sidewalk project to a drainage project. We have to pipe these ditches. It's additional assets for our public service group to maintain. It's very expensive right now. Pipe is in short supply for a lot of projects, as you've heard from updates on other transportation initiatives we have in the town. Comparatively to the $12,500 that was spent to improve ramp facilities, signage, and pavement markings. And so that was the direction that we went. Again, there was no sort of formal outreach to, you know, the grassroots effort petition. This was a great pilot project location here. And so that was why this one was pursued. Again, that critical gap between existing pieces of infrastructure and meeting all of those eligibility requirements. Newly resurfaced roadways, there's already traffic calming out there. We have three speed humps, or speed cushions rather, out there. So we have seen during our study and then after implementation, actually almost a reduction of a full mile per hour on the roadway, given that these advisory shoulders do have a bit of a traffic calming effect. And then we've conducted observations as well out there and seen folks are utilizing that path. Vehicles do seem to have begun to understand the concept of yielding to pedestrians in those facilities. So happy to answer any questions on this specifically.
Yes, sir.
I'm Mr. John, or Mr. Morrison, either one. Would there be an opportunity or an option to put some type of delineator up if it were to address some of the safety issues we're hearing from the neighborhood? Of course, that'd have to be discussed with them, but and was there any thought of that when y'all were designing this? You know what I'm talking about, like delineators, some type you see on the road to kind of warn traffic not to come over? I'd love to hear about that.
Well, that's always an option. It's a maintenance issue generally. It's also an aesthetic issue. And on top of that, I'm not sure that it's really necessary because of the way the roadway is designed. So, you know, this environment is absolutely clear that the vehicle must yield to the pedestrian at all times. And it's really not any different than the way you typically drive down any street. You tend to shy away from the sides and got to go around things, including other vehicles. So we're confident that the design can work. We have seen issues when people observing this facility. It really came down to this was a good opportunity for the town to, in looking for pilot projects on Road 2-0, to implement something that was a need. And it did not go through the normal process. We didn't take some of our other roads through the normal process. So we were searching actively for people to come to us to look for this. So anyway, I'm going to clarify that's how this happened, really.
I appreciate it. And of course, I've seen this design in other states as well. And I guess my question is, too, this is an actual photo of what's down there now, the two pedestrians,
yes, sir,
well drawn on the ground. So, I mean, then that's encouraging folks to walk in that particular path, almost like a car lane, to push the car, or if you're backed to the traffic, to really encouraging you to move over to the other side.
Depends on when, right, how that vehicle's approaching you. If they're coming from the front, they're approaching from the front, they're coming from the back, then yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am. Ms. Corbin.
Thank you. Just remind me again how we instruct residents to use it, because I live there as well, and it's just kind of shocking at first when you first are maneuvering through it, and then So I can imagine, you can just imagine if you woke up one day and boom, there it was, and nobody, it seems silly, like you would need instructions, but it's almost like, I watched the YouTube once you sent it, and once I've watched that video, it kind of like, okay, well, that's what we've been doing, I guess, but it was just, can everybody figure that out? And then, so I guess it's just the communication, the when we do it again, because I'm sure we'll be doing it in other places, how we instruct people how to use it. And some of the issues, just for future reference, would be as well, yes. Not UPS trucks, but landscaping trucks will park on that road. And then once you have a vehicle, sometimes you'll have two or three. There was a neighbor who was getting some major work done on that street. So every day you would have three trucks parked right there. And then you had so two-way traffic plus people trying to bike and walk. And it got a little, it gets a little sketchy. So sometimes you can't see. So yeah.
Yes, ma'am. And that was really the primary purpose of the development of that video. Prior to that, we had sent out a bunch of emails and sort of instructions and referencing other videos that other municipalities in the country have done to help show that. One of the things to consider here as well is, you know, there's additional signage out there, not in, you know, besides just the pavement markings on the ground. That's there to help guide. You know, we can certainly improve upon our outreach, maybe to the local, you know, U.S. Postal Service, of all the sort of more standard delivery folks that are in the area. They tend to have the same people in those zones delivering, and so while they will become more accustomed to this, I think, you know, we can certainly reach out there as well. You know, and to the point of, you know, our industry always has new and advancing technologies, roundabouts and things that show up, the flashing yellow arrows that we've installed over the years. So there's always that initial learning curve that we anticipated and why we went ahead and developed kind of that user-friendly video.
So what I'm hearing is, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this was sort of a pilot program, and financially, right now it would be super challenging to get a sidewalk installed with proper drainage, and this is just a quick fix for. I think if you put yourselves in the homeowners or in Commonwealth's spot, it's just the feeling like we weren't a part of the decision making, and that's always hard for people to take.
I think retroactively we certainly understand that now. It kind of happened quickly in the fact that we did not realize that section was being resurfaced, and once we found out, we're like, hey, it's we did some initial data and collection, said it's perfect for that type of use. So intentionally, it could be something, that, and I don't have any doubts that once folks, particularly the folks that live there every day, know how to use it, it'll become natural to them. Mm-hmm. Could it be replaced by sidewalk? Absolutely. That wasn't necessarily the intent of the program. It was to really address these areas where it's very difficult, for general lack of funding, to come in and do a project like that, at least not immediately. I mean, it could be, you know, 5 years before you could put a sidewalk in, just how we go through our prioritization of sidewalks, et cetera. So it's intended, these locations, like Pitt Street, all these other locations, they're intended to be a permanent pedestrian walkway. That's only for pedestrians. And the only time that you go in there is if the vehicle has to yield around something. So yes, could a sidewalk be built? Yes. Is this intended to be address the pedestrian needs? Yes.
If I could say one more thing,
yeah,
on a positive side, it does slow down traffic, I felt, because nobody knows what to do, so everybody just freezes and stops and goes, okay, who's going to go? but yeah, I think it's just communication, education, and a warning shot would have been.
Yeah, I understand that, and that was really, ultimately that was my decision when I was made aware of it. I was like, yes, it sounds good. We didn't necessarily understand that this was, I was thinking we had support from Daryl Creek. I wasn't thinking Commonwealth Daryl Creek. I was thinking this is a great solution. That's what I was focusing on. So yes, if there was a lack of communication, I'll take the blame for that.
if you would indulge us a little bit to see how it works, I think it's certainly worth it.
And I think one last thing, and then I promise I'll be quiet.
You have the floor as long as you want.
It's just neighborhoods like Commonwealth, you know, where you have this older neighborhood who has been built around, and it's quiet, and we never complain. We're super nice and do our thing, and it just feels like more and more and more. And I think this was just like that. Whoa, we're here.
I understand. Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
Mr. Chapman, I think you had...
Yes, sir. First of all, you know, this is something new in the transportation vernacular, if you will. And it's not necessarily for every location. And I can understand the need to provide the interconnectivity between two pedestrian bicycle development. In terms of the length of this, I'm not sure that that length is a location that is where it would properly be done. The $400,000 for a sidewalk, was that for a contractor to come in, or, as was suggested, potentially getting a, I guess, a initial option for putting our employees, public services, to do the sidewalk? Was that suggested?
Yes, sir. So the initial estimate that was developed was utilizing recent bids that we've received from contractors. I think the scale of this, the study really that would be required to properly size the pipe, these are things that we would likely have subbed out to one of our on-calls and then put out to bid through our new sidewalk program, which we do. Do that kind of every 2 years. We come out with a list of prioritized sidewalks. And just for reference for that program, it's a CMP program. There's a $500,000 allocated to that program every year. So scale on that versus a $400,000, you know, just goes to show that we were trying to really extend the dollar in this area, and it was really met that eligibility requirements. But this was for a contracted out project.
Looking at these pictures, it doesn't appear to be that difficult for installing a sidewalk, and maybe a sidewalk in between the swale and the road. But this picture doesn't show the whole length. But it's a long road to do something like this. That's what my concern is. In a smaller road length, it might be more beneficial. So can we talk with public services about the potential for doing a interim sidewalk before we can have time to get it fully done?
That's absolutely something we can pursue. Again, there's more upfront work that's required as part of that, from a design standpoint, from a permitting standpoint, potentially. But if it can be something that can be constructed in-house, we'll certainly work with our public service department to sort of vet that idea.
We own that road, right? We own the public right-of-way.
Yes, sir.
It's not a state road, so I would like to suggest we try to do that. Might not work, but try. Number one. And number two, in the future, when you've got two neighborhoods involved, please try to make contact, even though it might be something we think is a good idea. As a trial, we need to involve the neighborhoods, for both neighborhoods. And I can see where the problem occurred. Thank you.
To clarify what you're saying, we're just talking about
let's see what the feasibility of a sidewalk would be, if for no other reason to compare and see how long it would take and how long it would take to get funded. I don't think we're trying to start building something that we haven't even vetted yet. I have a question. Is this not similar to the type of mobility path that is on Needle Rush going from Long Point to the park?
So in a way, yes, sir, it is. That's a bike lane that's established along Needle Rush.
Right.
But same sort of concept.
Same
pedestrian
concept.
Bicyclists can utilize that. Again, there's the same constraints on that roadway.
And I see a lot of runners on that road as well. At some point, maybe for our next meeting, because I'm sure we're going to be going over all this again, could you find out for me what the traffic count on that road is and help me understand? I see this volume of 1,362 vehicles a day. And we see that a lot, and I'm terrible remembering numbers, but how does that, you know, compare that to another road, maybe Pitt Street or something like that?
Yeah, I know at least for Needle Rush, you're probably going to have a much higher volume there,
right,
with the county park and,
right,
and again, a large neighborhood as well.
The recreation facility, yeah.
I think we did also conduct counts on Pitt Street. And so I can get you those numbers. I don't want to misquote the volume now, but we do
maybe
have
for next month meeting. I just want to get an idea, since we're going to be seeing more of this, what, you know, where it works and what might be a threshold at which you're not going to do a micro mobility thing like this because there's just too many cars.
Yes, sir. And in the program, there is that threshold outlined for roadways that are eligible or under consideration. And it's around the 2,500 to 3,000 vehicles per day.
Yeah. Okay.
Range. So this falls well below
okay
those thresholds.
So while we're on this surface and all of Commonwealth and Darrell Creek, can we move on to the next two B and C?
Yes, sir. So item B, update on resurfacing of Darrell Creek Trail. This is again a request from the Commonwealth neighborhood that we've been coordinating with over the past few years. So Darrell Creek Trail, just for your reference, has a score of a 46.1 PQI. That's a pavement quality index. This is every 4 years. The town contracts out a company to come in, and they drive every roadway, and they have lasers and detectors all attached to their van, and it really gives us a more quantitative score for different roadways and allows our staff to prioritize which roadways need resurfacing sooner than others. So the estimated cost for the Darrell Creek Trail resurfacing is $500,000. We do have a contract out right now. For reference, all the scores for those roadways that we're pursuing are lower than the 46.1 PQI, so we are prioritizing really those worst-case roadways.
Lower score meaning worst condition.
Correct, worst condition roadways. And so we are prioritizing those with the funding we have. This next year, we anticipate an increase in that funding, so it would more than cover the necessary amount to do Darrell Creek Trail in the 2024 resurfacing contract, as well as others. One of the other reasons why, you know, beyond the score, which is not just the only metric we look at, why we've not done work on really a full resurfacing on Darrell Creek Trail is that Carolina Park is still constructing their last phase. This phase K is the last phase, so they are bringing in and hauling out, you know, loads of dirt. They're bringing in equipment, they're building roadways, and so that adds to the degradation of the roadway. And the thought was, in addition to the score, let's wait till that those heavy vehicles are no longer on that roadway. We've run a calculation on how much we think anticipate to still come within this last phase, and so they will be wrapping up, we anticipate, in the next 6 to 8 months, which puts us in line for the 2024 resurfacing contract. Additional work that's happened out there besides the standard pothole replacement through public services is we did work to install a safety shoulder per the request of the neighborhood, and that was really, again, gearing up as a first step to then, you know, have that additional pavement when we come back and resurface the whole roadway. It will be that full width. So that was an additional 2-foot safety shoulder on each side of the roadway from essentially Park Avenue Boulevard down to 17. To address, you know, a real concern of runoff the road vehicles, rutting, things like that. So it was a safety improvement, and to the tune of $147,000.
So this means, if I'm reading this correctly, that the $500,000 is anticipated to be included in the 2024 resurfacing contract.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So does that answer that question? Okay. Yes.
Mr. Chairman, this picture is really good for our previous item we looked at. And I say that because DOT has done this on a number of roads throughout the area where they've added 2 feet on the side. And maybe if that type of work could be done on Deer Creek Road as part of not a sidewalk, but providing the extra space for the use of this mobility concept, while it doesn't create an additional sidewalk, it certainly provides the extra space needed to kind of ameliorate the problems we're experiencing and the questions we're getting from the neighborhoods. In other words, giving extra space for the pedestrians and the bicycles, but also extra space from them to the two-way road. And maybe that's an interim solution rather than a full sidewalk.
Okay. And then the item C is an update on the replacement of street signs.
Yes, sir. So the town is actively replacing signs within the town. We're on area 11 of, there's a total of 16 areas in the town. So we're almost three quarters of the way complete with that program. Commonwealth is in area 14, so they are fast approaching. And we do anticipate completion in the January 2024 timeframe for replacement of street signs. There is the ability, if the Commonwealth, and we can certainly continue these conversations, if they wish to pursue the decorative post option, we have allowed neighborhoods that want to pursue that the right to essentially get their signs early, because then they have to contract out with an installer and go through that process. And so that is an availability that we can certainly investigate with them. But as of now, the anticipated completion date of their street sign replacements would be the first of 20.
Does that include other than just the name, street name signs? Is that the speed limits, the stop signs, all of that?
Okay. Yes, sir. It is everything. Our staff goes and inventories all existing signage within neighborhoods, adds additional signage if needed, removes redundant signs or illegal signs as part of this process. So it is all street signs.
Okay. Questions or comments?
I would just like to comment. This is something that is critical from a public safety standpoint, and especially emergency vehicles with the street name signs. And I realize with Waze and other communication availability, it's not as critical as it used to be, but it's still important to have the street name signs that are legible and in the right places. So the faster we can get this done, I think the better off we are as a community.
So just to wrap up this agenda item, we've got some follow-up to come back about the pedestrian path, the sidewalk. We know where the resurfacing stands, and we got an update on the replacement of street signs with an expected completion date. Do y'all have any other questions or any questions of the folks from Commonwealth?
Yes. Okay.
All right. Thank you all for that, and let's make sure we put those follow-up items on our June committee agenda, please.
Yes,
yes, sir. And we'll do that. Item number five is update on ongoing projects, and Eric, as you and I kind of communicated, I'll put one in here that I know we're not voting on today, but it appears that since the Isle of Palms voted on their preferred restriping plan of the connector, that we're going to be asked to weigh in. So I think whatever information we need, and please check, make sure we have time at our next committee day. I think we would have time for that, and I don't think DOT is going to act any sooner than that, to our knowledge.
No, sir. And we've had conversations with DOT on the subject prior to their meeting, and I think we need to have some more conversation, because I happened to see the piece last week on the TV, and I was a little confused on that versus the information I got from DOT, which was we've been asked to kind of continue the study on the option. So I can't say for sure whether they've they feel they have an option they want stronger than the others, but the message from DOT, they were going to keep on working on it. But we can certainly have them come to a briefing in June.
That would be good.
Yes, sir.
There was also a representation made at the Isle of Palms meeting of something I said that we really didn't care, and that's not really what I said. I said we had not chosen a preferred option yet. We hadn't voted on anything yet or taken a stand on it yet. So, and I don't think that was done, you know, in any hostility. It was just how it came across to the person I spoke to. And we haven't weighed in on an option yet. But I think what we would aim for is for this committee to have the information in June, if it's available, that we can, to at least give some direction as to where, what our preference is.
We'll be happy to set that
okay.
up.
So, anyway, the other updated ongoing projects.
Yes, I'll be brief through this. We brought this up in the last committee meeting. Bessemer Road sidewalk is actually beginning construction today. This was filling in the remaining gaps along Bessemer Road to the tune of about 2,300 linear feet. And so that work will be beginning today. We'll include a mid-block crossing with an RRFB, a pedestrian-actuated flashing beacon. So that will be underway starting now. Patriots Point Gateway intersection improvements. Only updates on this are a few things. One good, one not bad, but we anticipated the complete construction time frame. We anticipate will likely shift due to utility conflicts, and Dominion and AT&T are still out there working right now. But on the good side, we have our staff, Daniel Williamson in particular, has worked with SCDOT to revise the pavement cross section at the intersection, which will save the town anticipated $400,000 to $500,000. There was some initial request in that design for a more invasive replacement of the intersection pavement. That has since been backtracked. Updates on Vaughn Ed Key Parkway. They really are out. They're turning and burning out there. They are almost finished with the storm drain design or storm drain installation. They'll be bringing in the base course this month, so you'll start to really see this road take shape over the coming month or so. And then still the anticipated completion in October. And there's some photos there of the typical construction. If you haven't been out there, the multi-use path is paved. A lot of the curb and gutter is paved, so it really is starting to take shape. Billy Swales Boulevard 4B, our staff is still working through the right-of-way acquisition process, and you know we'll be submitting to the Corps here for their review soon. And so once that process happens, that's really our critical path item, is that Corps review process. And so we're still... again, moving forward with right-of-way acquisition right now. And then the last project, Maritime Port District Intersection Improvement. This project is under construction now. The crews are on site. We've started the sidewalk work. I think it's actually finished now on the going into Hopcaw.
Is that inside Hopcaw Creek right there? It looks like the berm in the middle. Yeah.
Yes, sir. So we, you know, it's a combination of sidewalk and then pervious sidewalk as well when we got near some of the more mature vegetation there to help the lifespan of that survive the construction activities and longer term maintenance concerns. So we're doing some additional utility relocations out there and putting some storm pipe in here shortly, and then we're waiting on, and we should be receiving our mast arms for the intersection upgrade here within the next few months. So that project's moving forward as well. And then lastly, All-American Boulevard, phases one and two. This project is going through a final phase of permitting, and we still do anticipate bidding this project here coming this summer, fall time frame, pending that DHEC review. And that is all for project updates. Happy to answer questions.
Yeah, yes, sir. I have one question.
Okay.
In the work we're doing with Vaughn Ed Key and also Billy Swales, those both are in the vicinity of our Rutherford Range Road Park. And in terms of wetlands that make area of our Rutherford Range Park, will this not give us better information from the Corps
on what we might need or any issues we might have with construction of the Rifle Range Park.
Yes, sir. I think both of these projects have done a really good job in helping to delineate sort of the typical conditions out there that will help to glean sort of a path forward and direction from a permitting standpoint with the Rifle Range Road Park.
Great. Well, that's kind of what I induced with where they were in relation, but I wanted to get some confirmation that the Corps will be doing some things on our behalf that will give us a better idea of what we need to do for Rifle Range Park. Thank you.
And also, this is not on the agenda, of course, but it does fall in the ongoing projects. I think Stantec has some data for us, and I think they've asked us all for not a committee meeting, but a meeting to where they can share some data with us, preliminary, I guess? Or?
Yes, sir. We met with them a couple of weeks ago to go over that preliminary data and how they're going to present it to you so that we make sure that we're going to get good information back,
right,
and cover any subjects that, you know, we didn't capture in that process. So these two meetings, I think we have some meetings on Friday and then the following next week.
Right.
So probably in June, we'll have a good presentation for you on that subject.
That was my next question. From what they have and what y'all have heard from them, do you think that in June we'll be able to get in depth on this?
I think so. I need to check with the schedule on what the next deliverables were, but let me follow up with you on that specific item.
Sounds good. We look forward to meeting with them and hearing about that. Any other questions? I think item 6 is that we will adjourn. Thank you all for the update. This committee is adjourned.